welcome to episode 79 of
Brutal Battle.
Okay, now, listeners, you might be confused. This is Rebecca. I am hosting the show, and I have Carlin as my guest.
Hello, my name is Carlin. I'm a guest.
So Carlin thought it would be funny to kind of flip the tables on me. So I'm hosting the show, and he has the mystery beers for me. So we'll see how this turns out.
Yeah, so you'll get to see how it is to be on the other side of the coin. I already got to because I was going around getting everything ready. And I will say, I will be voting on these beers. I know the breweries, but I don't know the beers.
Oh.
So it goes a little bit against what we typically try to do because I know the breweries, but I do not know what the beers are. And that was the best I could do it. But at least I don't know what the actual beers are. That's the good part. So,
and Carlin did say after he poured the beers, he said, this is a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work. I appreciate it. All you do.
So we do have a warm up beer with us, courtesy of, one of your best friends.
My best friend, BJ Crawford, also known as Benjamin Crawford. He lives in the Chicago area. And he sent a bunch of beer. Didn't he send a bunch?
Too much.
Well, I'm never going to say too much. Right. But
and I will always say too much.
Right. BJ and I go way back in college. We did a lot of drinking together back in my heavy drinking days. You know, drinking like Natty Light and disgusting stuff like that. We, our group, just a little bit of trivia for everyone. Our group was known as the Fraternal Order of Elbow Benders. We create our own little group. Our buddy Matt Harvey, who also sent me some beers recently.
Too much beer.
He had created a seal for us and everything. It was like a griffin, like with holding a pint of beer. It was pretty cool.
That was like right around when we first met, because there was like a newsletter.
Oh well, that was the newsletter happened after we graduated.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but
okay.
It was during college, and that was a way to kind of keep in touch. So
yeah, because I remember when we first met, and you showed me the newsletter, and I was like, this is weird.
So listeners out there, if you want to start your own fraternal order of elbow benders, go ahead and then send an email in brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com and let us know that you started your own order.
Yeah. So let's get to drinking this warm-up beer.
Okay. Yeah, we have our little tasting glasses. Do you want to talk about the beer?
Yeah, that's what I do as the host.
Okay, yes, as hostess. The host.
Oh, no, I can't even pronounce it.
Fudu Fafa.
Okay, yes. It's an Imperial Farmhouse IPA.
Have you ever had that?
No, I've never even heard of such a style.
I have not either, and that's one. I think that's one of the reasons you and I settled on this one, because it's so interesting of a
concept.
What
else do you like to say? It's 10% alcohol by volume.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's high.
And who is the brewery? Solemn Oath.
Yeah, Solemn Oath out of the Chicago area.
And I will say the logo on here is kind of cool. It's like a lady doing like a split.
But she looks like flapper girl style.
With some gold.
Stripper dust.
Gold stripper dust? Something like that. Coming out of like a shell?
You know, like all the strippers have like glitter. And then after you get your lap dances and have titties in your face and all that, you just have glitter all over yourself.
I am not familiar with this. Okay.
I'm not either.
So I'm going to give Carlin just a little sip because that's what he normally does for me.
Okay. That makes sense.
This is kind of fun.
I've always wanted to try beer by Solemn Oath. I've heard really good things, and BJ was the first person to send me any Solemn Oath stuff. So thank you so much, BJ. You are the man.
And Solemn Oath is out of Illinois?
Yes. Near the Chicago area.
Established in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So relatively new.
So.
Okay. So, coloration-wise, it's like,
it's like a light gold.
Yeah, I was going to say, like a golden.
A light gold, yeah. There's not too much head to it, in my opinion. It's
not real, I mean, it's kind of cloudy.
Honestly, I'm going to say there's not as much lacing on the edges as I thought there would be for a 10% alcohol beer. But I've already been sniffing it, and, our cat has now joined us. I've been sniffing it, and it smells very hoppy to me.
Yes, there's definitely a very, very big hop presence in this. But I definitely get pineapple.
Yeah, it's very tropical. Mm-hmm. It's very pineapple-y, and I do get, like, I have to sniff really hard, but at, like, the very end of each sniff, I get, like, a farmhouse characteristic. Mm. Like that type of yeast.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's just, like, right on the end.
Yep, yep.
Because those hops are so strong.
Yeah, no, I'm
very interested to try this. So you're sipping it. Go ahead and talk about it, and I'll sip.
Okay, so right off the bat, I definitely get the farmhouse style.
It's oh.
Not as hoppy as I thought it was going to be. It's
yeah, no.
Really interesting. I really like it, though.
It's almost, to me, like a little tart on the mouthfeel. Like,
no, I don't get that at all.
I'm trying to think of a way to put it. It's like a little bit of like an effervescent citrusy note. Like if you have like a, I don't know, how am I trying to say this? Like a soda that's like a lime or like a lemon lime type soda, like that feeling you get on your tongue with that. Yeah, with that flavor. It's kind of leaving that.
But it's not crazy. Like, I feel like on the very first, as it first touches your tongue, you get that just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do get hops. I don't get it nearly as much as I was expecting on the nose, honestly, but
I really like this.
It's confusing to me. I wouldn't say that I dislike it, but I wouldn't say that I really, really like it. I'm going to need some time on this because the hops with the, that farmhouse yeast is just kind of overloading my brain. It's just kind of weird to me, but it's interesting. I need a little bit of time to work through this.
This would be a really, really odd beer to taste blind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, it'd be really confusing.
I think it's delicious.
But what type of, are you getting a special type of citrus out of, like, the mouth?
No.
Or the flavor there?
Not really. Not really. Well, we're going to keep sipping on that. Wanted to kind of talk about our two most recent trips to different brew pubs. First being Brewer's Art. We finally ventured down there. We've had some of their beers on the podcast, and I know they
struck out every time.
Yeah. And then our concern was the fact that they brew off-site, so we thought if we actually went there, it might be a little different.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Carlin?
Well, first of all, I know we said it before on the show, but their cans and bottles for distribution at liquor stores are done by Sly Fox Brewing out of Pennsylvania. So they're taking the recipes and they're making the beers and releasing them, but, you know, it's not by the hand of the Brewer's Art brewers, so it's going to be different. And you don't know if they were going to get the exact same ingredients, and there's always the issue of what water is being used, because water has really played a big part in how beer characteristics are. Mm-hmm. You know, when you and I went to Trobes,
right,
we talked about they talked to us about how they add minerals to their water because they used to be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and their water tasted a certain way, and they really liked their beers with that characteristic. And then they moved to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and they said the water wasn't the same, so they had to figure out how to add the proper minerals into the water to make it taste like the water in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
Really crazy. So you don't know what kind of water they're using, and, you know, I don't know if Sly Fox tried to match the water or what, but the Sly Fox Brewer's Art stuff I have not liked at all. But
except Birdhouse.
Right.
Which we did have on tap at Brewer's Art, and I loved it.
It's a pale ale.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I didn't like it as much out of the can as I did at the brew pub. I thought at the brew pub it was significantly better than in the can, but I think in the can it's, to me, passable. Like, I could drink it. I don't
really just could.
Yeah, I wouldn't seek it out. I could drink it, though. Most of the other beers, though, that they have in cans, like the Resurrection and the Aussie, which people who have listened to all the episodes have heard me drink and be like, yuck, I hate this. I can't even, like, I couldn't even drink those under any circumstance. But the Birdhouse I could.
See, I actively sought out Birdhouse in a can, and after we got cans, I continued to seek it out. I just think it's really good. But while we were there at the brew pub, we had apparently it's really, really popular. We had to get there like right at like 5 o'clock on a Friday, if not before, to get seats at the little bar area. And it's a really cool place in a historic building in Baltimore.
It got super packed.
We got like the last
like
table.
10 minutes after we sat down at our table, it just started getting packed.
Yeah, it was like almost too loud. We kind of left because we were like screaming across the table at each other.
The acoustics in there really suck.
Yeah, like at really high ceilings, a lot of character in the room. It was just a beautiful venue. What did you have on tap, Carlin?
I had a Chop Tank.
Right.
I think is what it was called. I think that was like a Saison brewed with something. Honestly, I can't remember.
It was a while ago.
But I know we tried like two different pale ales, including the Birdhouse and like the Chop Tank. And the Birdhouse was definitely
the best
thing that we had there. But honestly, I was happy with every single one of those beers.
They were all solid. They definitely were. And we had some really good food too.
Yeah, I had like a wild boar terrine that was wrapped with something I can't remember on like some crackers. Really good.
And we had
some fries. We had some really good fries too with like rosemary and olive oil fries, I think.
Something like that. And I forget what sandwich I had, something with turkey and like maybe brie cheese, but everything was really good. Definitely go back. And who did we see walking towards the brew pub?
Yeah, as we were walking there, Volker Stewart was walking towards us, like, on his cell phone. You know, wearing what Volker Stewart, for anyone who doesn't know, is the owner and head brewer of Brewer's Art. And he was wearing his typical thing, like, cargo shorts and just, like, a t-shirt. That's his style. So it was just kind of funny because we just walked by and I was just like, that was Volker Stewart.
I'm like, we must be getting close.
Yeah, exactly. But he must have put in a day of work and just been leaving at the end of the day. So we went in, we had some beers, and I am happy to report, as people have told me, the beer is so much better at Brewer's Art.
Yeah.
So, awesome. And thank you, Volker Stewart, because the food was awesome and the beer was really good. So, kick ass.
We'll definitely be back. And then, more recently, we went back to Of Love and Regret.
Which is the brew pub that's partially owned by Brian Strumke, who is the owner and brewer for Stillwater Artisanal Ales. If everyone remembers, he's the gypsy brewer.
Right. And ironically, as we're sitting there eating, I'm trying to get Carlin's attention because who comes walking through Of Love and Regret but Brian Strumke himself?
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because Rebecca was trying to get my attention across the table and just, like, doing, like, the big eyes thing, you know, like, her eyes got big, and she, like, nod emotion to one side, and, like, when people do that, I don't want to react immediately, because if the person you're trying to point out sees you do that, and then I turn around,
right,
it's just, like, it's embarrassing, and it's weird, so.
Yeah, well, it was embarrassing and weird for me to be making big eyes at you across the table for a while.
Yeah, because I was just like, well, hold on. So then I looked, and I was like, oh, man, it's Brian Strumke. And obviously I know what he looks like because we had seen the Brewmore Baltimore documentary. So I just decided to go talk to him. And I was like, you know, it can't hurt to just go chat. So I told him, you know, what I appreciate about Brewer's Art. Got confused. About Stillwater. What I really appreciate about Stillwater, how they kind of changed. He kind of changed, you know, Saisons for me. And he actually said, he's like, you know, I try not to always do Saisons. He's like, I try to do a lot of different stuff, but the issue is I just love the yeast so much. And I'm like, you know, that's cool. Like, do what you want. So we had a good conversation. You know, I was being a little fanboyish. Like, I really like it, whatever. And then he commented to me that he had listened to our Brewmore Baltimore review episode. And I was like, really? Which, honestly, it kind of floors you when someone like that has heard it and no one sent it to him. He said it came up on his Google Plus as like related to him and he just decided to listen to it. So I started thinking about it and I was like, ooh, I said some stuff about him on that. Some stuff that I don't know if he would like it or not like it. You know what I mean? So I was happy to, I'm happy to report that he said everything you said on that episode is totally true. He said, I was listening to the episode and I was laughing to myself because everything you said about me was true. So I was like, oh, thank goodness. So anybody who's curious who hasn't listened to that episode or it's been a while, go back and listen to the Broomore Baltimore movie review episode that we did.
You're a tease, Carlin Cook.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to plug the stuff. Yeah. Got to plug it. So.
Yeah. So that was.
So it was good talking to him. I gave him a card and we had been trying to set up. I was trying to set up an interview with him, but here's the issue. He's a gypsy brewer.
Yeah. He's not around a lot.
Yeah. He does not spend much time around here. And Nick and Matt from Digital Cave Media, who did the documentary, had told me each on different occasions that he's kind of hard to nail down because he's leaving the state a lot, you know, going around brewing.
Leaving the country.
Yeah, leaving the country, leaving the state, going all over the place and brewing. So we don't have a interview with him coming up anytime real soon, but still working on it. We'll see what we can do. It would be cool.
So we also had some good brews there.
Awesome.
Tried,
yeah.
What, 1, 2, 3, 6?
We did, but not all of them were still water beers.
Right.
One of them was like a remix of Cellar Door, which is like his Saison with white sage. I think they didn't say exactly what they did differently with it, but they used like some different spices in it. I wasn't huge on that, honestly. I was like, it was okay, but most of the stuff I was like, it was either solid, okay, but there was one beer. There was one beer.
I'm terrible with like names. I really rely on Carlin to tell me. I'm like, oh, I remember I really, really liked that. I remember that was really, really good, but I don't really remember exactly what it was.
It's a beer called Natas, Natas. It was a collaboration with DC Brow out of Washington, D.C., as the name would say. And it was an Imperial Porter.
So good.
Oh my gosh. It may be the best porter I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It was so thick and just had such rich flavors. It was like chocolatey. Oh, it was so amazingly good. And I had tasted it before I talked to Brian and I told him and he was like, oh, yeah, thank you so much. He's a really nice guy, like a really nice guy.
Just someone who like found his passion and enjoys doing what he does.
Yeah, and you have to respect that. So, yeah, that was interesting. And man, I wish we could have gotten like some cans of Natas or something, but they weren't selling any there. They actually have like a little shop upstairs of Love and Regret where they sell bottles. And I bought some expensive stuff. I had one beer that was like, I don't know, like $30 was the bottle. It was in a collaboration with Oxbow, I believe. And it was like a Saison that was aged for like 20 months in a wine barrel. So I haven't tried it yet, but we'll see. I got another beer. Don't remember exactly what that one was, but.
Yeah, and Carlin says we need to save money. And I said, I have a great idea on how we can save more money.
Yeah.
He didn't like that idea.
Well, what I meant was we need to save money for more craft beer. Mm. Like that's what's important here.
Well, actually we do need to save for a trip to Oregon to visit my sister.
Ding, 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 craft beer.
But we have to have money to get out there first.
Oh, well, it'll happen. It'll happen.
Again, it was a successful trip to Of Love and Regret. We had some great food. We took
the figs.
Oh,
you want to talk? Yes. Or dates. Was it dates?
Were they dates?
They were dates. Yeah, they weren't figs.
Dates like wrapped in prosciutto, stuffed with goat cheese. Oh. We actually had like, we ordered two orders of them.
Rebecca ordered it originally and I was like, oh yeah, that might be all right. And then we tried it. And my sister and her partner Alex were with us, and her daughter Zaria, they were all with us, and we all tried the dates, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, these dates are ridiculous!" Yeah. So I was just like, "Yeah, let's just order some
another
more.
One."
And what really did it is like, I mean, dates are a good flavor, but it's what you do with the dates, and the combination of the goat cheese and like that salty, like
salty
prosciutto.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was like the salty, the sweet, the creamy. It was really good. And everything else was really fantastic. And it was their first trip there, and they had a great time. So, if you're ever in the Baltimore area, it's definitely a place we would recommend.
And I had a barbecue brisket sandwich that was really, really good. And it had like a nice vinegary sauce to it, which vinegars, you have to have the right amount because it can really wreck you if there's too much vinegar. But it was like just on the line of like almost being a little bit too much, but it was for me perfect. It was great. I wasn't all that happy with the French fries though, because they were like the thick cut. I don't really like thick cut fries because I just feel like they don't pick up a whole lot of flavor. It's just kind of like a potato, you know?
I don't think I knew that about you.
Yeah, not a fan. Well,
Okay.
you learned something new
I
about
know, look
me
at this.
all these
Okay.
years.
Well, let's get into the beer tasting here.
Let's do it, I
Okay.
guess.
Oh,
Well, go ahead and.
I'm nervous. Okay, so we have beer A and B. A is real clear.
Yeah, I see right through that sucker.
It's another like golden. It
Yeah.
looks like a beer.
There's a tad bit of orangish
Yeah.
hue to it, but it's like gold orange.
I feel like when you think of a beer, this is the color you think of.
There's a little bit of head on that too.
There was. Oh no, this is not the one. The other one had a lot of head on
Yeah,
it.
B had like a ton of head when I
Yeah.
had poured it.
A decent amount, especially if it's been sitting out for a little bit.
Yeah. Smell. You might
I
wanna employ the cup
know.
and swirl there, pal.
Cup and swirl, cup and swirl. I've seen it done. I've never done it myself.
I wanna see what you. I have something that hits me immediately, but I don't wanna say it. I want
I get,
as the host
or
to.
I, oh, the host, hostess, with the
Yeah.
mostess. I get orange right away.
I could see some of that, but there's something else that was like the most immediate thing to
Oh,
me.
jeez. I knew this was going to happen. I was like so nervous about this.
Just work through it, work
Oh,
through it. This is
gosh.
how it is. How does it feel? The pressure, the
I
pressure.
know. Oh, I'm going to crumble. I don't know. All I get is orange.
Get like wheat.
Oh, you know what? Okay. So immediately when I smelled this, I thought to myself, Blue Moon.
Okay.
Because of the orange. And I guess I was thinking wheat. I just couldn't put
Correct.
my finger on the word wheat.
Yeah, it's that's
It
the first
smells
thing that hit
like it
me.
smells like it could be Blue Moon. I don't think you would put Blue Moon.
How do you know? You
Maybe
don't.
actually you could. Who
Yeah,
knows? I mean, it looks like it could be Blue Moon.
you do not know what I would do. And that's the thing, because there are so many times when I've been tasting with whoever the co-host is, and we've been like, is this a macro beer? Could this be a macro beer? But even before you put beers in front of me, there's always that little voice in the back of my head, like, watch out for like Coors Light, Bud Light. Like, it could be in there.
Yeah,
So.
I don't know. Okay, I'm ready to
All right,
drink it.
go ahead and start drinking it. Yeah, really smelling that wheat on it. You're looking a little
It tastes
perplexed.
like, it tastes like, it tastes like it could be Blue Moon.
It's weedy, in
Yeah,
my
and
opinion.
just kind of like, eh, like nothing really significant sticks out to me.
I don't know. I also get kind of weird, like a bit of a corniness, like this kind of like corn aftertaste that I get from like kind of adjunct-y beers. It's really.
I almost hope this is a macro.
It's weedy, dude. I
That's.
feel like that's all I taste is like weediness. And I feel like the aftertaste is like just watery,
Yeah.
actually. It kind of like falls off your tongue.
This has to be Blue Moon.
I don't know. I
I'm
mean,
trying to like look at his like. Oh, he doesn't. Oh no. You said you don't know. You just know the brewery?
I don't
How did
know.
this happen?
I know the breweries, I don't know what they are. How did it happen? I made sure that I didn't look at the labels.
Well, how did you get the beer?
I will reveal that later. I'll reveal how I got the beer, and then it'll make sense why I know what the breweries are, but I did not look at the labels. So, yeah. So anyway, continue.
Okay.
How are you feeling about
I mean, this is nothing to write home about, nothing I would drink again.
I mean, I don't think it's like the worst thing I've ever had, but it just kind of tastes like it's weedy, it's kind of corny, and it just kind of like falls off. You know what I mean? I don't really, I don't know.
Just nothing I would waste my calories on.
Yeah. All right. So now what do we do, host?
Okay. Well, I'm cleansing my palate with some water.
Yeah.
Okay. Good idea. And now we're going on to beer B, which is obviously the next step in the podcast. And this is very cloudy.
That's a hazy beer. What's it looking like?
I would say it's...
like orange.
Yeah.
Cloudy orange.
Cloudy orange.
It actually looks like Blue Moon.
You think this looks like Blue Moon?
Yeah, it kind of looks more like Blue Moon than the first one, because the first one was, like, a lot more clear. Like, I feel like Blue... it's been a long time since I've had Blue Moon.
You don't think it's Blue Moon? I'd be so proud of myself if I called it out.
Well, maybe. You still could be right. I don't know. We'll see.
You know what the brewery is. Okay. And this is the one that had a ton of head when Carlin poured it.
Yeah, it had lots and lots and lots of head.
Okay, I'm not kidding.
I felt like it was potentially way too overcarbonated, so it would be interesting to see what the mouthfeel is going to be like. What do you smell? Smell anything?
Nope.
You don't smell anything. Cup and swirl.
I feel like I'm going to cough. I'm trying to breathe too heavily. Sometimes I just don't get anything.
These are the dangers.
I don't know what I'm supposed to smell.
I smell hops. They're not...
I smell beer.
They're not crazy aggressive hops, but I smell like a citrusiness.
Yeah.
With it, it's a little tangerine, in my opinion. Really got a smell.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it smells tangerine-y.
It's like just this very, very subtle hop, subtle citrus.
Yep.
Other than that, not much of anything.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just getting the hops and the citrus, so.
Okay.
Well, you believe you must taste now.
Oh, well, that's the next thing we do.
Oh, is that
I have weird notes for myself that says color, aroma, sip.
Yeah, it's not easy, is it?
No, I was nervous. I had to give myself notes.
You gotta be on your game. I know. When you do this, now you will appreciate what I do, and I appreciate more what you do.
Okay, these are terrible beers.
Oh, I just tried mine. It tastes orangey.
I'm gonna redo. It's terrible when you taste terrible beers.
Sorry? I don't know what to say.
Why did you do this to me?
I don't... revenge. You typically do serve us good stuff, though.
I try to.
Here's the thing, though. You just don't know what you're going to get. That's the thing. Like, and honestly, we're not trying to just have beers that are good.
Right.
There are a lot of beer podcasts that do that, where they're just like, we're just going to try all the good stuff and tell you how awesome it is and make you jealous. I mean, we do that from time to time, inadvertently and on purpose. Like, when we do our side-by-sides, like the one we did of Heady Topper and Pliny the Elder, and then the one we did of Bourbon County Brand Stout and Founders KBS. But a lot of times we're just tasting anything and everything, and sometimes they suck, and sometimes they're awesome, and sometimes, actually most of the time, it's just kind of like in between.
I'm just like making a really disgusting face. I feel like it just tastes like butt.
Just tastes like butt. Well, do you get any of the hops or the citrusiness in the mouthfeel, or in the flavor? I personally do, but it's not a lot.
I think it's very subtle, and then it's like really bitter at the end.
It's very bitter. Like, it's very bitter.
I'm making that bitter beer face.
Oh no, from the old commercials. What was that? I think it was like Keystone Light or
I don't
something.
Know. That's like a blast know. From the past.
The bitterness that I'm tasting kind of tastes like a citrus rind to me. Isn't that what that bitterness tastes like? Because I get a little bit of that kind of like tangerine-y citrusiness, but it goes away so fast and it's just kind of dominated by like a citrus rind.
I keep sipping it thinking I'll find like some sort of redeeming quality in this beer, but I can't. There's just nothing.
I think it's... ugh. I'm going to be honest, it's the same for me. I'm kind of feeling like it's the same for me as A, which is like not the worst beer I've ever had, but really not a whole lot going on, you know?
I mean, at least A, I think, smelled better and had a little more taste to it. It didn't leave me with that bitter beer face, at least. Every time I take a sip of B, I make the bitter beer face, and I, ugh.
Well, go between the two and tell me what you think of them right now. Because after tasting B, A tastes a little different to me.
Yeah, it does.
I actually feel like I can pick up more in A since I had B. And yeah. I think that's because its crisper flavors are standing out against the bitterness yeah. B had.
Like the sweet, like you're sucking on the juice of an orange.
Is that what you're getting out of A?
Yeah, definitely. But I
still get a whole lot of wheat, but yeah, I get a little bit of a citrusiness to it.
I don't like either of these at all. Okay. Now, Carlin did say right before we started the podcast, he's like, remember, brutal battle scoring.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you said you were going to do
and
what
I
you
said,
want.
And I said, I'm going to do what I want. Because that's true. What I do. Although, I'm pretty sure there's really not much to score in these.
Oh my God. Here, give me your little taster glass, because after having these beers and then having some of the faux de fafa that BJ sent us, just tell me what you think.
I can't wait. This is going to be like a breath of heaven.
Yeah, take a sip of that.
It's like dessert. It's like we suffered through like all of the terrible vegetables of the meal.
You choke down the Brussels sprouts.
Oh,
and the broccoli.
No, not Brussels sprouts.
Oh yeah, you like Brussels sprouts. That's right.
Disgusting. I mean, just as like a kid when you have to, and then
yeah, get through the peas and the lima beans, and then you can have your chocolate cake.
There you go.
Or in this case, your Saison IPA.
Yeah.
And actually, now that it's warmed up, I feel like I can taste that it's a real fusion of an IPA and a Saison. It is good.
It's very well done.
This is my first Solemn Oath. I think this is your first Solemn Oath too, correct?
Yeah.
Off on the right foot, can we just put the Solemn Oath in instead?
Yeah, really? Okay. So now I'm pretty sure this is where we score them.
Oh, is this what we do?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Do you want to go first?
No, I as the guest, I feel like I don't want to take the lead.
Okay, so as the hostess, I will take lead. I'm gonna get. We do halves or no halves?
No halves.
Oh,
you should know that as the host.
Well, you know. but wait, I can give zero.
No, we don't do zero. Lowest is one.
Hmm.
1 through 10, but 10's not the highest.
Well, this is tricky. Okay. Well, okay, beer A, I'm going to give them both ones.
Really? Straight up?
Well, I mean, I feel like beer A was, like, slightly better. Okay, I'll give beer A a 2. And
you can do what you want.
I'll give beer A a 2.
I feel like you took the brutal battle thing recommendation and were just like, yep, it all sucks.
Well, I just, ugh. I just kind of feel like this is how I rank it out of 10. I feel like a 5 is something I would like, I'll drink it again.
Okay, yeah.
Anything below a 5, I'm kind of like not,
you're
I wouldn't.
Just not going there.
Yeah. I wouldn't drink it again, but some of it might not be terrible. Now, these beers are terrible. So I know I jumped ahead. So A, I'll give it A a 2 because it was slightly better than B and because you don't do halves.
I can understand that. You're giving A a 2 and you are giving B a 1.
Correct. Sorry. Okay. I know I did this out of order.
That's fine. I'm going to be slightly different from you because...
What?
I'm going to give B a 2 because I don't think it's the
are
worst...
Are you kidding me?
Well, listen to why. I don't think it's the worst thing we've ever had. I think back to other beers that I've given 1s on this show. Okay. Like the Brimstone by Duclaw, the rye wine that was just really offensive. And obviously the Mashed Turd Grundle Lord, the New Planet gluten-free pale ale. And yeah. I think of those and those were ones. And I feel like B is not as bad as that, okay. But it's still not all that great. So I'm going to give B a 2 and I'm actually going to give A a 3 because...
This is hysterical.
Especially after having B and then going back to A, I feel like A opened up a little bit more to me. And I'm getting some stuff that I could drink it again.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because aren't you getting, like, some citrusiness? And for some reason, the wheat's kind of doing me well at the moment.
No. I mean, it's...
And here's the thing. It's also because with B, I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever had, so I feel like I have to give it a 2, right? Based on that.
Okay.
And then I feel like A was definitely better than B.
Right, so then so you don't do halves.
I feel like I have to go 3.
Okay, well, that's fine.
This is a situation where doing halves would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But we don't, so, hey.
Deal with it. Okay. This is, I think, the part of the show where I reveal what's what.
Yeah, well, we gotta, what do we have to do first?
Oh, we have to tally them up, average them up.
Okay, do we?
Well, you do.
Oh, I'm doing it. Okay. So, A is the winner of the episode with an overall 2.5, and B is the loser with an overall of 1.5. I think those scores are justified.
I don't...
A 1.5 and a 2.5, because I think... In my opinion, I think I was a little more lenient, and I think you were a lot less lenient.
So, I don't think so. I was honest.
Averaging these, I think, makes it pretty much perfect for where the beers are.
Okay. And, yeah, listeners, not I normally...
not good.
Normally what I do in the podcast is I pour the beers, I come up, watch TV, and then they come up from the basement, and I'm like, so, how'd they do? And then I normally don't even know how the rest of the show goes. But, okay.
Although... Admit it, every now and then you kind of listen.
Oh, yeah, I do.
For reactions I while do. We're recording.
Sometimes if I know I gave him a really good one or a real stinker, I'll stand at the top of the stairs and, like, giggle to myself.
Very good of you.
So we reveal the loser first.
Yeah, the right? biggest loser in so this the... case. Because the faux de fafa is the biggest winner for me right now.
Okay, so the loser is beer B, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is so exciting. I've never done this.
Yeah, isn't it cool?
Da, 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 da. Oh, it's a Southern Tier beer. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so Beer B is Southern Tier's Farmer's Tan Seasonal Session IPA. That was an IPA?
Well, Session IPA.
Still.
I'm glad it's not a straight IPA, because that would really, really, really dishearten me. There are some session IPAs out there that just are not so good, and this is one of those. Not a big fan of the session IPA. There's really just not much going on for it. There's, you know, like we said, there's some citrus to it, but it's kind of quickly washed out by, like, a citrus rind flavor that's just too bitter.
Seriously, that is session. They might as well just call it water.
So are there any, like, descriptions on there?
So it's brewed with 2 varieties of hops, 2 types of malts. It's 4.6% ABV.
Okay.
Pretty much it. It's seasonal. That's it.
All right.
Okay. Well, sorry, you suck. Okay. Beer A.
The winner of the episode. Overall 2.5.
Is? Oh, it's not Blue Moon. Okay, but it is a summer wheat beer, Hop Sun Seasonal by Southern Tier.
Okay, so summer wheat. Any flavor text on there?
Okay, brewed with 1 variety of hops and 3 types of malts.
Is there an ABV somewhere?
5.1%.
5.1%.
Oh, and I know why you know.
Okay, why do I know what the brewery was for
because
both of these beers?
They sent these to us.
Correct. Southern Tier.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, though. If that's how it plays out, that's how it plays out. Southern Tier, we do greatly thank you for sending these beers in to us, donating these beers to the podcast. Unfortunately, we weren't big fans. I mean, that just happens. And when I send the emails out to all the breweries asking for them to send beers, I say in it up front, it is a very honest podcast, and we are very, you know, brutal on beers. So there is a chance, basically, that we're not going to review the beers all that well. So, you know, in the past, the breweries who have sent them in, I felt relieved because they've done well.
Yeah.
But I think this is our first one where it really didn't do so hot. But, you know, you're going to have that.
Right.
And I would say, as a consolation to Southern Tier, though, there are beers that we've had from Southern Tier that we really do enjoy.
Well, that's the thing. I was surprised at Southern Tier because I like a lot of their things.
Well, you have to consider, I think they decided, like, let's just send something of, like, the summer.
The summer, yeah.
Because it's the summer.
Yeah.
And I guess we're just not down with what they do summer-wise. Obviously, we really liked their Pump King that won our pumpkin beer tournament.
That was awesome. That's an awesome beer. Their Creme Brulee.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Their Creme Brulee. And here's the thing about the Creme Brulee. We had had the Creme Brulee a bunch of years back. And we liked it then. And then we had it like less than a year ago. And we were like blown away by it. Because I feel like, I don't know if either we just didn't remember it being as good as it is, or if the recipe changed or what.
I don't know. It's so good.
It is like crazy good these days.
Yeah, it's really delicious. Yeah, I'm sorry, Southern Tier.
Don't apologize. Yeah, it is what it is. You know, we're honest.
And I could see, again, I personally didn't like beer B. I feel like beer A, because it's a summer wheat, and if you're outside on a really hot day.
Well, don't try to suck up now.
Well, no, No, I'm not sucking up. Now that I know what it is and what it's supposed to be, you know, you can appreciate what you drank. You know, it's not my thing. I wouldn't go back to it.
That's the thing. It's crisp, you know?
It's up for a summer wheat beer, for something you just, you know, it's low ABV, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're mowing the lawn, you want a beer. I could see people reaching for it, but it's just not my thing.
I think for a summer wheat, it's fine. It's a fine job as a summer wheat. I think the Farmer's Tan, though, as a session IPA, does not do a good job as a session IPA.
It misses the mark, especially because, I don't know, when I drink an IPA, I like it to be more, I think we have the same taste in IPAs. We like more of the citrus flavors than we do like the piney. And I think this is a little bit more, I think it's supposed to be a little bit more piney, but.
But I'll tell you, I've been coming around a little more on the piney notes with IPAs and Imperial IPAs. And I think the biggest beer that really started turning me was On the Wings of Armageddon by DC Brow. Oh, there you go. DC Brow come up twice in this podcast. So maybe DC Brow should send us some beers.
We probably need to go to DC Brow.
Oh, I'd love to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, On the Wings of Armageddon, they did, it's an Imperial IPA, and it's one hop. It's Falconer's Flight, which is a very piney hop. And it is just so piney and like thick, but it's a really good beer. And I feel like that was the very first like beer with real serious pine notes to it that I was like, you know what? I can appreciate this. I can get into it. And I feel like from there, it's kind of opened me up to accepting piney notes in beers a little more. So anyway.
Okay. Well, on that note, I'm going to continue to drink this Feu de Fafa. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I had to look at the bottle again. I wanted to say Feu de Fufu, but I knew that wasn't right.
It is really good.
It is really good.
And as it's warming up, it's getting even better. It's
Yeah.
Like, just listeners, think Saison and IPA mixed together. Citrusy IPA at that.
Yeah, which is
because the citrus is coming through more now that it's warming up.
That's good. So at least I had one tasty beer on this episode.
Thank BJ. Thanks, BJ.
Oh man, thanks, BJ. Miss you, BJ.
Keep bending that elbow, BJ.
On that note, thanks, Carlin, for having me.
No. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay. Thank you, Carlin, for coming on this episode as my guest.
Yeah, no problem. I had the most amazing time. I hear everyone who comes on Brew of Battle say that it's the most fun they've ever had in their life.
Obviously we had, a goofy, fun time, reversal roles. God, I might be a little tipsy right now.
What?
Switching.
Lightweight.
Reversals of roles.
Reversing roles.
Yeah, thank you. I am a little bit of a lightweight.
Yeah, I'll say. Especially considering the fact that one of them's a summer wheat and another one is a session IPA.
Okay. Which also, I might be a
5% below.
I might be a little nervous under the pressure of living up and filling your shoes.
That's fine. I think you did a fine job.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anyway, so that's pretty much the end of the episode. So Carlin, is there anything you want to say as we wrap up here?
I think I was told to say something like,
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.